Good morning. This is Donald Smith from Cornell University. I'm in New Paltz, New York, with two Drs. Hoppenstedt. Dr. Clifford Hoppenstedt graduated from Cornell University in 1935, and his brother, Dr. Gilbert Hoppenstedt, graduated from the University of Pennsylvania in 1940. I'm at the home of Dr. Clifford Hoppenstedt, who is better known to his friends as Kip. Dr. Hoppenstedt, Clifford, Kip, thank you for doing this interview, and also Dr. Hoppenstedt, you're from Hurley. Thank you also for giving me this opportunity to speak to you. Would you like to say a few words to begin with?
At the time I entered Cornell, it was the last class to enter the School of Veterinary Medicine directly out of high school, where the class was real large, and that was one of the reasons it was. People heard that it was going to a five-year class. They immediately speeded it up some, got ready for a four-year class.
Where did you grow up?
Oh, we grew up on a dairy farm in Pine Bush. Our family were farmers. Any way to make a living, my mother kept boarders. My father had a dairy. I supplied milk to Borden dairy plant.
Did your parents, was that a first generation farm, or where did they come from?
Well, our grandmother was born from a German and Amsterdam family. Her original ancestor came over to America, where England took over in New York City.
So you grew up in a dairy farm.
How
many cows would you have had?
We milked about 35.
And you were the oldest of the family?
Yes.
And your brother, and then your sister was younger.
She was 5 years younger than me.
So did you have an interview in 1927 when you went to Cornell? How did you apply to Cornell?
I wanted to be a veterinarian, and I simply wrote an application. That's all there was to it in those days.
And you had two women who were in your class in the first year.
Yeah. I can't give you much history on that. One was Esther Tisch, and the other one was, I can't remember what her name was, but neither one graduated.
What was it like having women in your class? Did you consider that unusual?
No, I didn't think anything about it.
Now, you knew Helen Goldaft. She graduated in 19...
Sure, I knew who she was, but I don't mean that we're bosom friends or anything. But Travis was in my class, of course, I knew him well.
And you graduated in 1935, and then where did you go when you graduated?
I actually worked for a practitioner here in Newport, and he didn't actually have volume enough of work, and I wasn't a good student besides, and so he asked me go elsewhere, and I went back to Cornell. They gave me the name of the Humane Society in New York City. So they had an opening, the Humane Society. That's how I ended up there.
And how long were you in New York City?
Between 1 and 2 years.
And you knew C.P. Zepp in New York?
Yeah.
Dr. Gilbert Hoppenstedt, you came along a few years later, and you went to Cornell for 1 year.
One school year, yes. And I wasn't sure if I was going to get in the veterinary school, and I was concerned, so I applied at Pennsylvania and was accepted. So that's how I kind of go there. And then my future wife was in New York City, and it's strange these days. We used to drive back from Philadelphia to New York City with George Papanczyk on occasion. That's how I come to know him so well. I graduated in 1940. I went to work in a small animal hospital owned by a man named Millar at Deal, New Jersey. And then I was married, and the war was on, and I got a job in Maryland until I was called up for the service, but just went on and just deferred and deferred and deferred till the end of the war, and then came to Kingston and opened practice. So we worked side by side for a good many years.
And your brother went from New York City after a couple of years to where?
He went to Dutchess County, and then he went to Gardner, where he had previously worked, and took over from the man who had been there.
You had a large class that started in 1931.
Yeah, I think about 50 graduated. As I say, many of them were Jewish, and they were darn good students. But many of them went back to New York City after graduation, started small animal practice.
Was the education for small animal work equal to the education that you got at Cornell for large animal work?
Basically. It was dairy and poultry. No.
Dr. Stevenson, did he taught you small animal work?
No.
And how about Dr. Milks?
Both of them.
Yeah, and that was it, pretty much?
Pretty much, yeah. Both good men, but it was basically for farm animals.
And when you went to New York and worked for the Humane Society, what types of animals did you see and what did you do on those dogs and cats?
You weren't supposed to spay animals because the Humane Society had a deal set up with them that said if you spayed an animal, they were supposed to have a license. Oh, office visits in those days were $3 if they had the money. If they didn't have the money, it was nothing.
Do you remember your professors, Dr. Hopkins, for example?
He was my first professor. He's an anatomy professor. Wonderful man.
Did Dr. Sunderville teach you anatomy?
Sunderville, Milk, all of them. Yeah, I had all the basic professors. The college was built for farm animals. But what I liked best, and being from a dairy farm, was cows. I was very interested in that and enjoyed doing it.
Who was your dean?
Oh, Hagen.
And he was a young man in bacteriology then?
Yeah, bacteria.
How do you remember Dr. Hagen? Did he and his wife have you over to their home?
Yep. Mm-hmm. On Sunday night.
Sunday night.
But we invited about three or four students, seniors, at a time.
I'll ask this question of both of you. How do you compare Cornell education and the education at the University of Pennsylvania? Were there differences or similarities that you remember?
Well, I think in those days, the small animal work was far superior in Pennsylvania than it was in Cornell. I haven't been back in 6 years, but basically, Cornell, I think, has come up tremendously.
Gilbert, would you agree that the small animal teaching was very good at Penn?
I would say it was very good. I think there was more emphasis on small animal in Pennsylvania than at Cornell, but the type of treatment, well, I think, just comparable. The vaccinations that we have today have done so much to eliminate the diseases that we had in small animals, distemper. It's just unbelievable. You very seldom, that I know of, that you hear of distemper anymore. And that time, it was deadly, deadly. Vaccinations come a long way.
How big was your class at Penn?
We graduated with 40. And I believe that we started with 40. And we lost some and then picked up some from other classes. If you failed a subject, I think you were dropped back. If you failed a couple subjects, that was the end of it.
Did you have any women in your class?
Yes. We started with a couple of females, and they dropped out, and then we picked up a couple of females from previous classes. Speaking from memory, I think we graduated with 3 in our class.
Dr. Dobler was the first woman to graduate from Penn in 1938.
Oh, dude, yeah, I remember her very well. I wouldn't tell you that I remember much about her in school, but I have heard considerable about her since I've graduated, and articles she wrote, and she was very well thought of. She had a good mind and worked hard, but I've lost touch. Very good person.
There was a very large number of Jewish students in your brother's class at Cornell. I believe, according to Dr. Goldaft, there were probably 17 who started in 1931 with you. was a class at Penn that started in 1936. Did you have a lot of Jewish students in your class?
I wouldn't say that we did. I think we had 7 or 8. And I think we ended up with 7 or 8. In my memory, there was never any problem at all. Jewish students sort of stayed by themselves and studied by themselves. They had their own fraternity, but there was never any problem that I remember. Now, of course, before graduation, the European World War II was on, and I suppose the Jewish question did arise more, but I don't remember any problem with it. They were all pretty intelligent boys, worked hard. And most of them went into small animal practice in the cities afterwards.
Were some of them from New York City as well, or most of them from Philadelphia?
I would say New York City as well, New York State.
Now, you paid tuition at Penn, is that correct?
Yes.
Excuse me, you paid tuition at Penn, but the lab fees that you had to pay at Cornell, they about balanced out. It wasn't very much.
It was just a few $100.
And there were lab fees at Cornell
that
were comparable.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
You see, here's the difference. Cornell is a land-grant college. It was basically for agriculture. And we had some darn good men in the field studying agriculture that went to Cornell. Land-grant college, and they worked in behalf of the farmer.
And that was different at University of Pennsylvania?
I would say yes. We did not have the farms around Philadelphia like you had at Ithaca. But you did have some work in some wealthy estates. And we had a large animal clinic, of course. It was quite a bit of horse work, equine. And at that time, the milk companies, garbage disposal, a lot of them used horses. And so they came into the clinic. I lived at the school. I got my room free. Smile, but one of my jobs was cleaning up the post-mortem room. We always had the rich and the poor. We both worked at wealthy fraternities. The way it was done, if you worked for lunch, waited table, or washed dishes, then you got a free meal. And that was just a common thing.
You see, students at Cornell and the veterinary college were classified as very poor students financially because they had a farm background and knew how the farm income has always been low compared to others like liberal arts or engineering.
Where did you live in Ithaca at Cornell?
410 Howard Street. I slept in the attic.
Do you remember what you paid rent?
$65 a quarter.
And where did you live at Penn?
At the school, because there again, I had free room. I was there for 4 years.
I'm going back to what you said at the beginning, then. Your parents wanted you to get an education.
Absolutely.
Could you talk a bit more about how they influenced you?
I was very, very active in 4-H. It was just starting, and an agent came to our school when I was about 8 years old. I got quite active in 4-H work, and that was helped influence my thinking going to Cornell. I didn't know what I'd be doing. Never even thought of. And I've had young people work who told me later in life that they never dreamed of going on to college.
Why did you decide to go to the veterinary college instead of the agricultural college?
Well, we had 2 veterinarians that used to come to our farm that were very presentable. They were always neatly dressed and very much a gentleman. I think their personality had a lot to do with it.
Dr. Gilbert Hoppenstedt, were you influenced by your brother in your decision?
Oh, yes. My brother influenced me a great deal. And I have to say, our parents were just dedicated to the proposition that we were going to have a better life than they had had slaving on a farm. I just can't say enough of good about them. They had that thought in mind. There was never any question. I don't know how they did it. Well, I know as Kip told you, my mother kept boarders in the summertime. $15 a week for room and board. There was no question we were going to go to college. Kip waited table and washed dishes, same as I did. We did what we could to help, but I have to say that it was our mother and father who drove us on.
You're proud to have been a veterinarian?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thank you both for the interview. It's much appreciated.
My pleasure. Quite honored.